So for any of you who've already done the Alpha course, and for those of you who might be thinking about doing the Alpha course starting here in a few weeks, pretty much the first topic in the Alpha course is, who is Jesus? And Jesus asks this very question in our gospel passage today. He starts by asking, who do people say that I am? Now, this opening seems fairly straightforward. Jesus has obviously been teaching, preaching, healing. And so the disciples can respond to this question by just saying what they've heard from the local view, the local gossip, if you like. Elijah, John the Baptist, a prophet. Despite the recognition that Jesus is indeed someone special, most people don't really realize the real significance of who Jesus is. He's already been a very controversial figure. But Jesus pushes even deeper. He says, who do you say that I am? Who do you, the disciples, say that I am? It may seem a bit obvious to us now because we know the full story. We know what happened. But at that point, it was before the events, it was before they set off on the journey to Jerusalem and the events which would inexorably lead to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. So in a way, it was actually very surprising that Peter answers, you are the Messiah. So what did Peter mean? The Messiah, the Christ, means the anointed one. The fulfillment of the long prophesied and long awaited anointed leader of the people of God, Peter recognized that Jesus was this longed for leader, the answer to divine promise, the one who would fulfill the hopes of the people of God. Jesus tells them not to tell anyone else. Now, I always find this don't tell anyone else thing a bit tricky. I think, well, you know, why was he saying that? But it's actually clearer, I think, here why he's doing that, because he doesn't want people to build up the wrong sort of hope and expectation about the Messiah and what the Messiah is about. Most people at the time were expecting a political Messiah, someone who would rescue them imminently from the oppression of whoever was looking after them at the time, that sort of release politically, someone who'd be a king and an earthly leader. And in stark contrast to what they might have been thinking, once Jesus hears Peter say, you are the Messiah, he starts to teach them about the journey of suffering and rejection that will culminate in his death. And 3 days later, his resurrection. Now, Peter and the others just cannot comprehend this picture. It's so different from what their hopes and expectations were. So Peter turns to Jesus and rebukes him. It's a really strong term, isn't it? He's saying, you can't say this. And in turn, Jesus turns to Peter and rebukes him and says, get behind me, Satan. Because Peter is drawing Jesus to try to be more focused on the worldly, the earthly. And of course, Jesus' purpose is divine and holy and worldly, but also otherworldly. Peter and the disciples just couldn't get their heads around the idea of a suffering and rejected Messiah who would be killed. What about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? There's no doubt that Jesus is an historic figure, a real person. Is Jesus the Messiah or the Christ? And what does that mean? Is Jesus the Savior of the world? Lord, Savior, Lion of Judah, Alpha and Omega, Emmanuel, King of Kings, the Word, Good Shepherd, Light of the World, the True Vine, Bread of Life, the Door, the Resurrection, the Life, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Is Jesus your friend, your brother? At the heart of faith is relationship. We're invited into relationship with God through Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. A God at whose very heart is relationship. And we see that modelled in the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Holy Trinity. Of course, we do all know, really, what we need to do to nurture and build up human relationships, at least anyway, don't we? Spending time with those people we're in a relationship with, finding out about them, enjoying their company. Maybe cast your mind back to meeting a new friend or partner. Do you remember that desire to find out about that person? I was recollecting after my first date with Tim that we stayed up to the early hours just talking and asking and finding out more about each other. There's a real hunger to find out about a person that you're in a relationship with. And it's no different with Jesus. We want to get to know Jesus better, find out all about him. One of the ways we can do this is to share and learn more about what we believe through something like the Alpha Course, through the Connect groups that some people are members of, where we connect with God and with one another, coming to church as we are this morning. This all helps us to understand. We can practice the presence, being in Jesus' presence through prayer, and in our daily walks with him in life. And of course, there is a particular thing that Jesus said, when two or three gather together in my name, I will be there with them. So when we gather on a Sunday in as larger groups, Jesus promises to be with us. And we experience that particularly when we gather round the table. As we think together about who Jesus is, we gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But it also points us to a question about ourselves. For when we think about who Jesus is, it forces us to think about who we are. What we think about who Jesus is forms us as people. We want to be more like him, to model ourselves and our lives on him as his followers and disciples. And as we think about the identity of Jesus, we can choose to follow him, we can choose to be like him, or not. Who we think Jesus is brings us face to face with our own response to him, our own discipleship, our own identity. Just like Peter, our confession about the identity of Jesus shows us what sort of follower of Jesus we are. It's a really crucial question. Each of us has to answer that question for ourselves. And Jesus knows it's a hard question. I think it's a question we probably grapple with throughout our lives, throughout our journey with Jesus. But at this point in the gospel passage, Jesus invites the rest of the crowd to join in the conversation, and he pushes further into this response about what it means to follow him. For the invitation is open to everyone, not just the disciples, the whole crowd. The invitation to follow Jesus is not always cozy or easy. It's also a path of denial and suffering. Jesus says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It's important to be clear about what Jesus means by taking up the cross. He's not talking about the suffering that we is simply part of life in this broken world, everything from daily difficulties to serious illnesses and natural disasters. Neither is he telling us to seek out suffering or martyrdom. Jesus himself didn't seek it out, but it was the inevitable outcome of his God-given purpose. Jesus speaks of losing our lives for his sake and for the sake of the gospel. So taking up our cross means being willing to follow Jesus faithfully, whatever the consequences. It means putting Jesus' priorities and purposes ahead of our own comfort, desires, security. It means being willing to lose our lives by spending them for others, using our time, our resources, gifts, and energy so that others might know God's love and welcome in their lives, shifting the center of gravity from concern for self to that kind of reckless abandonment to God's love and will. How, might we ask, can we possibly do this? Because, of course, our human instinct is to choose the easy and safe path. And in this sense, we're no different from those first disciples. Though Jesus tried to prepare them for what was to come in Jerusalem, they all deserted him. Even Peter, who was, if you like, the star student, he knew the answer, you're the Messiah. Not only did he run away, but he denied Jesus 3 times. Often we're tempted to think that the Christian faith is kind of like an insurance policy, a feel-good story, something that will make everything in life okay. But the truth is a lot more complicated than that. We are called to a journey with Jesus that's about flourishing as the people of God, about knowing that life abundant that Jesus promises. But it's also at the same time about being prepared to turn our focus from ourselves to God, whatever the cost. And this fullness of this story is what we're called to share with others, for it is indeed good news, because it's about new life and about new freedom. And even if we are called to journey through that darkest valley, as Psalm 23 says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A little bit later in our service today, we're going to commission our children and young people's leaders. This is the good news that they're called to share with our children and young people. The reading from Isaiah that William read reminds us right at the beginning that the Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher. It reminds us that God opens our ears to hear, not just for our own benefit, but so that we can share that good news, that story with others, not simplistically, so that faith falls at the first sign of difficulty, but showing in each of us the fullness of how we identify with Jesus. Who is Jesus for you? And how do you show that in your life and in the way that you follow Jesus? Amen.